Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres continue their three-game set at Wrigley against the Cubs with game number two. And we've got the well-dressed and quite nimble Bill Center here at Petco Park.
Bill, I complimented how you're looking. You've been keeping yourself in great shape. You got the nice sport coat on today. I have another thing to compliment you about. I hope you don't mind. I know you're a modest gentleman, but I want to compliment you on your agility as well.
Alongside the less well-dressed Jesse Agler.
I'm not any sort of haberdashery expert. I can barely dress myself in the morning.
Now, coming to you from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Bill Center.
Hey, good Saturday morning. Welcome, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Broadcasting live from beautiful downtown San Diego, Shelter Island, Point Loma, not too far from here. We're in the AMR studio, Petco Park, inside the team store. He's Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. And I feel like I've said this every single day so far this season, but, Bill, we have a lot to talk about.
We do.
This team is providing us with a very good amount of good things to discuss.
Positive talk.
Yeah.
Unlike last year where we were trying to explain stuff away.
We're trying to explain now, but the things we want to explain are very good, things. We're explaining how this team is coming from behind, how this team is not bothered by a 2-0 deficit in the first inning or a 3-1 deficit in the sixth inning. And, boy, is that a lot more fun. Let me just throw one stat at you right out of the chute here.
Right.
Okay, now 11 games into the season. The Padres have played 11 games this year. Last year through 11 games, the Padres were averaging 2.5 runs per game. 2.5 runs per game last year through 11. This year through 11 games, the Padres, not quite doubling, but nearly, 4.4 runs per game.
Right.
Second in the National League. Third in the National League, I'm sorry. Third highest total in the National League. 4.4 runs per game as opposed to 2.5 at this point last year.
And 4 of the 7 wins are come from behind wins. 2 of them are the 6th inning or later. Those are good signs.
Those are very good signs. Those are really, really good signs. Yesterday was a lot of fun. A 5-4 victory over the Cubs. The day at the start, it was all about Chris Bryant, right? It was about the big league debut of the former USD star, and rightfully so, by the way.
Right.
He's a super-duper prospect. It's his first major league appearance. He's batting cleanup. We have every right to discuss Chris Bryant extensively yesterday. There was every right for the whole country to be tuning in to see what Chris Bryant did. But the fun thing was what James Shields did, particularly in that first at-bat.
Struck him out 3 times.
Yeah, he did. The first at-bat was 3 pitches.
Right.
A cutter kind of tailing away, and then a couple of change-ups. And, you know, the cliche is, oh, he hadn't seen a change-up like that in the AAA level. But, of course, he dominated in spring training against a lot of very good major league pitchers. So he's seen this. And Chris Bryant, you have to imagine, is going to go on and have a really, really nice career for the Cubs. But this was a fun way for it to start from a Padre perspective.
Do you know what Chris Bryant was in his professional debut, his first pro game?
He was 0-for-5, I believe.
With?
How many strikeouts?
5.
0-for-5 with 5 Ks.
Right.
So. And it's been okay since then.
Right.
So his first minor league game, he went 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts.
Might be a little glitch here that we shouldn't. I mean, I think Chris Bryant's going to be fine.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about Chris Bryant.
In fact, I'm sort of happy that the Padres get rid of him in Chicago these first 3 days.
Yeah, just so you don't have to wait for him to really hit his stride.
Get hot.
And start going. All right, so let me pull up a tweet from yesterday's show. And as a reminder, you can always tweet us. The hashtag is PadresSH. And we do questions and comments throughout the show on Twitter. This one came in last night, okay? And it comes from Garrick, and he goes, how about Jesse exactly predicting the debut for Chris Bryant on Social Hour today? 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts, hashtag Nostradamus. Now, that is very nice of you, Garrick. I appreciate you giving me that credit. No, no, don't bow down, Bill. I can take no credit for that. I did not predict 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. Somebody else did, though. Bloopers got the clip from yesterday's show. It actually came from somebody online. Here, have a look. Brett says, hey, I'm not a biased Padres fan at all, but I hope Big Game James can spoil Chris Bryant's debut. 0-for-4, 3 strikeouts, but of course no bias at all. But that's I'll sign up for that. 0-for-4, 3 strikeouts against James Shields. That'd be fun.
Sure.
That would give us something to discuss tomorrow.
Right.
And here we are. We're discussing it. So, hey, great job by Brett. Brett on Twitter and on the chat at padres.com/social hour, at Brett Skinner, he gets a round of applause.
Right.
golf clap for Brett. 0-4, three strikeouts. He hit it on the head. Brett, I would love to know what's going to happen in today's game.
Give us a call, Brett.
Yeah, let us know
what's
going to happen.
If you get this one right.
Then we'll do it again on Sunday. But, yeah, 0-4, three strikeouts for Chris Bryant. James Shields looked like a really good veteran pitcher against a guy making his big league debut.
And Shields worked him differently every at-bat.
Yes.
I mean, first time was the cutter and then two changeups. And the location, the pitches were different each at-bat.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun watching Shields work to him. But I think for me, the main point, my lead coming out of yesterday's game, if you said, Jesse, what did you most feel from yesterday's game, was that, really, again, there was nothing daunting about being down early, you know,
right,
for this Padre team.
And remember last year, if they got down a run, the pitchers last year went into every game knowing that if they gave up a run, they were in serious trouble, and if they gave up two runs, they were in serious, serious trouble. That's not the case anymore, and you can pitch a lot different. The whole attitude changes when you know that generally your team's going to score for you. And last year that was not the case.
That's it. They felt they had to be fine. They felt they had to be perfect.
Right.
And James Shields was not perfect early on. In fact, his own error helped get things going for the Cubs. There was the wild pitch that maybe might have could have been a pass ball on Derek Norris that got in a run from third base. He was a little bit, I don't know, self-destructive is too strong, but he did a couple of things to hurt himself early on in the game. And then last year, like you said, you would have been like, oh, man, forget it. Third inning, 1-0, 2-0, pack it in.
And the TV sets would have been going off.
Yeah.
I mean, sadly, that was the situation they were in last year. This year, they can come back. You know there's lightning there.
And they did come back. A couple of big ones.
Without getting a lot of hits from their number three and four hitters.
Kemp and Upton.
Right. Kemp and Upton were shut down. And they got production elsewhere, which is the other thing I see from this team.
That's a great point, and I think I've probably said it 100 times in the first week and a half of the season, but that's a good thing, which is that you don't necessarily know who it's going to be on a given day, and that's the sign of a good ball club.
Right.
If you watch good teams, it's not always the superstar guys who are Kemp and Upton. You know, let's be real on this team. Some days it's going to be. It was Upton the other day against Arizona here with that home run in the eighth inning off of Randall Delgado. And more often than not, it's going to be some version of those guys being involved in it. But you're right. Yesterday it was Middlebrooks early, Myers late. Look, Kimbrel came out and did his thing. You got Benoit to do his thing. Shields settled in. There are a lot of contributors. I'm not trying to oversimplify it. But the two big hits came from Middlebrooks and Myers. Let's start with the first one. Middlebrooks ties the game. I don't even want to start with Middlebrooks. Both home runs came with two outs, so you're dealing with that more fine margin of error, I guess. Right before the Middlebrooks home run, Yonder Alonso has a really, really, really good plate appearance,
right,
and draws a tough walk to get on base and allow Middlebrooks to come up and hit that two-run homer.
Yonder Alonso now already has 8 walks in the season. He's got the fourth best on-base percentage in the major leagues. Yonder is getting on, which is what you want Yonder to do.
That's the whole point. So
right,
he draws the two-out walk. By the way, Alonso is hitting second today.
Right.
We'll talk more about that coming up in a little bit. First time during the regular season. So he does a really good job. That allows Will Middlebrooks to come up. And one thing we sort of know about Will Middlebrooks, and something we're going to continue to learn about Will Middlebrooks, is he is very, very comfortable going to right center field when it comes to his home runs. A lot of his, you know, handful of career home runs have gone to right center field, including both this season
opposite
as a Padre.
Opposite field power.
Yes. You like opposite field power.
I love it. I love it. I mean, I love opposite field hitting no matter what, which is a lot of what we've seen from Alonso so far this year.
Yes.
And teams are still shifting against him with one guy on the left side, and he's been poking the ball, base hits to left field. I love that. Make the defense play you. Head straight up, and you're going to get even more hits.
All right, so there was a big moment in the game, obviously. There was a bigger one. Let's be fair. There was a bigger one. That one tied it. But what was your favorite moment? Was it the Myers home run later on? Was that your favorite moment of the game? Let me ask you.
I got to tell you, it was the Middlebrooks home run. Because
okay,
you're down two, and with one swing of the bat, this guy gets you back in the game. And, yeah, Myers wins it later. But I thought Middlebrooks' home run sort of said everything you want to know about these Padres, is you can be down early. They have the ability to get you back in the game.
Okay. I like that. So they got themselves back in the game, and then right. they got themselves a victory with a little assist, maybe a minor one from the home plate umpire.
Yeah, I think.
Hey, those things go both ways. Who knew? It felt like earlier on in this season, those first couple games against the Dodgers, the Padres were going to be the team just hurt by poor strike zoning. Yesterday, they might have caught a little bit of a break with what took place right,
right
there.
Right now, today, I'm against robot umpiring.
You were for them a week and a half
right,
ago.
Right now.
And now you love human
right,
umpires.
Right. If get Holbrook back, I mean, I want him calling balls and strikes.
I love it. He can be the all-time home plate umpire for the Padres all season long. All right, we'll talk about the Myers home run when we come back and sort of the series of events immediately before and after it, because it was a wild few minutes at Wrigley yesterday. Joe Maddon got to go crazy. Good value on the argument from Joe Maddon. We'll talk about all of that when we come back. We'll also get to more of your Twitter comments. You can use the hashtag PadresSH online. Also, if your name is Brett, feel free to make predictions about today's game, since you hit it on the head yesterday, 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. Remember, too, you can go to Padres.com/social hour and chat with fans there, asking folks in the chat what their favorite part of yesterday's game was. Myers' home run seems to be leading the way. No right. surprise there. We'll
no.
talk about that when we come back. Join us right here at Petco Park on Friday. This coming Friday, April 24th, for the season's first Beer Fest, presented by Southwest Airlines. First pour at 5 p.m., so come for live entertainment, craft beer from local and national breweries, and stay for the rivalry game against the Dodgers at 7:10. Tickets at Padres.com. First Beer Fest of the year coming up Friday night at Petco. 5 p.m. Beer Fest at the park, 7:10 first pitch against the Dodgers of Los Angeles. The first trip to Petco this year from the guys up the 5. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the Myers home run and all the excitement from yesterday's game at Wrigley. This is Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show. Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. It's a Saturday morning. Padres and the Cubs coming up from Wrigley Field on the north side of Chicago. With Bill Center, I'm Jesse Agler. Tyson Ross out on the bump. He had a 13 strikeout game at Wrigley last year. One
right.
of his highlights of the season, his best strikeout game of 2014 came at Wrigley.
I got to ask you, speaking
yes.
of Wrigley,
yes.
what do you think of the changes they're making?
I mean, right now it's a disaster area.
Right.
You know, when it's all said and done, I'm fine with it. First of all, now let me say, I've never been there. I've never had the opportunity to go to Wrigley, which is a big bummer. And I get it. The traditionalists are freaking out a little bit because they've never had a video board. You know, they're going to block some of the people in the neighborhood. Now, I don't want to come off as callous, but I never understood the concern about blocking the people in the neighborhood. Like,
right.
they're freeloaders, for
right.
goodness sakes. Now, good for them. They
right.
took advantage of it. And as a kid, whenever I'd watch the games, and of course they were on all the time on WGN, no matter where you lived, like, I always thought it was cool that people across the street were able to go on their roof and grill and watch the games in the summer. But when they started charging people to go up there, I was always like, I don't know, that ruined some of the romanticism
of it. And put in the bleachers and stuff.
Yeah, like, it was just supposed
right.
to, it went from being a thing in the neighborhood that was a cool thing to, like, everybody trying to take advantage of it. And, again, that's fine, but now I'm not feeling bad for them
no,
that they're getting blocked
because
out.
That is the Cubs.
Yeah.
They can do what they want to.
Of
in
course.
My, and it's like these people are complaining that, oh, you're taking away our rights. No,
no,
we're not.
No. And I'm not generally a big business guy. Like, I'm consumer rights all the way. Like, you guys were charging people to watch something you could happen to see from your roof. Okay, so you did that for a while, and now that building is changing, and you're not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to cry for you.
No.
I mean, I don't know. It's like some of the romanticism wore off when they started, like you said, building bleachers out there
right.
and really turning it into something more than
exactly.
just hanging out.
The second that the bleachers started going up, I thought it lost its niche value of isn't that cute?
Yeah.
It's no longer pretty. That now we got bleachers up there. It's
yeah.
so – yeah, if they lose that, eh.
Yeah, no, I'm not feeling bad for those people, and I have no problem with the Cubs trying to bring that place a little bit more
right.
into the modern world. Now, the Red Sox, they just did such an expert job of it at Fenway.
Right.
You know, and for a lot of years, of course, you know, the fans in Boston don't change a thing. But they added the monster seats, which are now like as popular a seat as there is in all of baseball. You know, they added more upper level seating. and the essence of the ballpark is still there. It still feels like Fenway. It still is Fenway, but they've done things to, you know, kind of bring it into the present, if not the future, and I think the Cubs are trying to copy that a little bit. It doesn't bother my baseball sensibilities.
Not at all.
I'm glad to hear you're on the same page with that. And I know there are people that see the other side of that, and that's fine. And that's fine. But no, it doesn't bother me. It's a good question. It doesn't bother me at all. All right, let's talk about yesterday's most heated moment of the game and maybe the most fun moment of the game. So Will Myers is coming up. Padres are down a pair. Two men on, two outs. Will Myers gets in an 0-2 hole. A couple of fastballs from Schlitter. That's a fun name to say. And you think he got strike three, do you? Well, everybody did. And the pitch was a strike, in all honesty. You know, you look at the Fox tracks on TV, it was a strike. It was on the very bottom part of the strike zone, but it was in the strike zone. And the very next pitch, fastball, boom, goes the dynamite. And Will Myers absolutely smashed it into the bushes at center field at Wrigley. And all of a sudden, it's a three-run homer. The Padres have a lead. And Joe Maddon, of course, goes it's apocalyptic. Yeah, I can't say that right now, but you know what I'm trying to say on Sam Holbrook. And he has every right to, and he got his money's worth, and he went at the home plate umpire, and he, you know, said, you know, this wasn't a good call, sir. I don't agree with your version of the strike zone. You missed a call earlier. You missed a call now. I believe he said at one point there are five missed calls today that he wasn't happy about. And these things happen, right? We saw it happen to the Padres a couple of times in that opening series against the Dodgers with Adrian Gonzalez at the plate, where it was a strike, and the very next pitch, boom, right, big hit. Do you subscribe to the theory that it all evens out? I saw that a lot on social media yesterday. People were saying, hey, it all evens out. It's good.
You know what? I think it evens out more for a good team than a bad team.
I like that.
I think good teams get a bigger break on calls than bad teams, which is what Padre fans have sort of seen over the last couple of years. If you're a good team, if you're a great player, they expect that you know the strike zone and you might get a break. If you're a bad player or a rookie, you're not going to get a break.
So I agree with you that I think it evens out more for good teams, but not exactly for the reasons you're saying. My theory on it is good teams are able to take advantage of it. So let's say that you have a crappy hitter at the plate in that situation. He's probably not hitting a home run the very next pitch, and we've seen some of that.
Right.
This case, you've got a good hitter up there. He is able to take advantage. In L.A., Adrian Gonzalez, good hitter, good team. He takes advantage of that extra life, of that extra situation, because he's talented. And that's why I think it evens out a little bit more if you're good. So, right, in the past, maybe, when you had a bunch of guys hitting 200, it doesn't feel like it evens out because they're not able to do their part. Got to give Will Myers credit here. He caught a break. Absolutely. The pitch was a strike. It wasn't called a strike. But then he had the opportunity and took advantage of the opportunity.
Of course, Padre fans remember the 98 World Series.
Yeah.
When Mark Langston throws the changeup right down the middle of the plate to Tino Martinez. Called a ball, next pitch, grand slam, home run.
You know, Tino Martinez, good player.
Right.
He's
exactly
able to take it.
Great story about Ted Williams. In his career, a pitch was thrown right down the middle. The umpire called a ball, and Ted Williams stepped out of the batter's box and said, you know, that was a strike.
I've heard that story. I don't know that it's true. Do we think, I mean.
I think it is true.
Okay.
Okay. Because it's been verified. It's like, good hitter gets a break. Maybe you don't want to point it out to the umpire, but
well, it's also the guys like Ted Williams and Tony. I think they could see the strike zone so well,
right.
Even with the ball coming in at 90 whatever miles per hour or a big breaking ball. They just had such a good sense and feel of the strike zone, probably better than just about every umpire.
Right. And if you're an umpire and that type of a player takes a pitch, subconsciously you're thinking, God, he took it. It must be a ball.
Right. He would have swung had it been a strike.
Right. Exactly.
It's amazing how that whole thing goes on. So, hey, credit to Will Myers. That, I guess, is my end point.
Absolutely.
There, is that he was able to take advantage of it. And, I mean, it was coming in 96, whatever.
Plus, it's a distracted moment.
Sure.
I mean, because you've got this controversy. The catcher's taken off on a previous pitch because he thought it was a strike. Now they come back. I mean, he kept focused while there was a lot of other stuff going on. That's not always easy.
It's not. It's not easy
so
at
I
all.
So I give high marks to Will Myers.
And having the ability to take advantage of the situation. And I don't know if he's sitting fastball or if he's hoping, whatever it is. But he caught the break, and he took advantage of the break, and it was a fun swing that he put on that home run, too.
Right. But I thought that, you know, and when Madden went to the mound, you sort of knew Holbrook didn't want to go because he knew Madden was
out there.
Cubs players had all turned their back, you know, because they knew what was going to happen too.
Yeah, you've seen that once. You've seen it 100
right,
times
exactly.
In baseball. You know, after a situation like that, the manager goes out to the mound. He is essentially waiting for the home plate umpire to come out and break up the conference so that he can go crazy on him. And Holbrook knew that, I'm sure.
Sure.
And he kind of tossed him right away, and then he let Joe Madden do his thing. But Madden took his time. I mean, he definitely took his time there.
He was no hurry to leave.
The cliche is he got his money's worth.
Yes, he did.
And he absolutely got his money's worth there. All right, so it was kind of fun right there, and we had a good time with it. It worked out really well for the Padres. There were a couple of other really big moments, though, in that game yesterday. We'll talk about those when we come back. We'll also get to your questions on Twitter. You can use the hashtag PadresSH, the live chat at Padres.com/social hour. You can ask questions in there as well. You can even talk to each other. It doesn't have to just be about us. Like Alex is in there. Pods fan is in there. They can talk to each other. It's a whole social atmosphere at Padres.com/social hour. Do have a good question about the pitching rotation in there, too, that we'll get to when we come back. The Dodgers are coming, Bill. Get on your horse, ride through the town, and tell everybody. The Dodgers are coming. The Dodgers are coming. L.A. here, April 24th through 26th. That's next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And on Saturday, it's a baseball night in San Diego. And all fans in attendance get a free 2015 pet calendar presented by Cox. Get your tickets at Padres.com. The pet calendar. You might have seen some of the behind-the-scenes pictures. You know, Cashner holding the puppy.
Right. It was Cox.
Yeah, well, it's Helen Woodward, the animal shelter,
right.
Doing
okay.
It in combination with our friends at Cox. So that's all happening. Saturday night, you get your very cute pet calendar. We'll take a break. Come back. Get to your questions. Also talk about the ivy at Wrigley Field. That's next. Padres Social Hour live from the AMR studios at Petco Park.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back, AMR Studios at Petco Park with Bill Center and Blooper. I'm Jesse Agler, getting ready for the 11:20 first pitch at Wrigley today. Game two between the Padres and the Cubby Bears. Tyson Ross out on the hill for the Padres this afternoon. Always enjoy watching Tyson Ross pitch. A lot of big moments yesterday. I don't want to forget about Craig Kimbrell because Craig Kimbrell is our firehouse sub of the game. He comes out of the bullpen, and we're definitely getting to that point, Bill, where you get really, really, really excited when the Padres have a lead in the eighth inning between Benoit and Kimbrell. It's just filthy. It's just filthy.
You know, Benoit is tied for the Major League League in wins right now.
He has three victories.
Three.
That's the late inning heroics for
right.
you. That's also why when somebody goes, oh, this pitcher is terrible, he's got a 5-7 record, they have no idea what they're talking about because wins are a silly stat. But, yeah, once again, Craig Kimbrell is our Firehouse Subs sub of the game. Make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs here at Petco Park or visit any of their San Diego locations in Point Loma, right over there, Escondido or Encinitas. He's our Firehouse sub of the game. Once again, I feel like he might get that quite a few times this year.
He'll be our Firehouse sub?
We're going to start calling him the Fireman. That's going to be a new nickname for Craig Kimbrell.
How do you find these things?
It's a gift. I can't control it. I just go with it. It just pops into my head. Will Myers loves to swing at the first pitch, right? We've seen that. Fans, it's one of those things I've noticed fans freak out about a little bit. They like the patient at-bats. They like the grinded-out kind of at-bats, especially out of the leadoff spot. Do you know Will Myers hits in at-bats this year when swinging at the first pitch? 5-10.
Is that right?
He's 5-10 swinging at the first pitch. That's 11 games, small sample size, 10 at-bats.
Right.
But when he swings at the first pitch so far, he's hitting .500.
Now, on the other hand, you've got Yonder Alonso, who's averaging over five pitches in that bat. He's already got 8 walks. Yonder does an awful good job of stretching the count out.
Yes, he does. And we've always known he's an on-base percentage guy. We've always known he does a good job getting on one way or the other. It's been the walks so far this year. It's been really, really good. And again, Buddy Black has rewarded him by hitting him second today for the first time in 2015, at least in the regular season. We'll go over the full lineup in just a little bit. Let's talk about James Shields. He kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit, I think, in yesterday's game. This is your ace making his third start of the season. He had the error, obviously, a couple of early runs that were
great
kind of
throws to the plate.
Goofy
one
runs.
Really bad throw to first.
That's exactly right. But he gets picked up by the offense. Again, not that he was bad. Six innings, three earned runs, nine strikeouts, by the way, to just two walks for James Shields. And Padres starting pitchers now 68 strikeouts this season, most in baseball.
Right, most of the major leagues.
You like hearing that out of your starting rotation. Padres starters now a 2.62 ERA, second best in the National League. 2.62 ERA out of your starting pitchers as Tyson looks to continue that today.
Starting pitcher, I mean, the only flaw in the whole system so far has been we've had a couple bad bullpen performances.
Yes.
And other than that, things are going exactly how you want them to go.
That's exactly right. And the bullpen thing, I understand people being alarmed by that, particularly because of how good the pen was last year. But A, you know, there's time for those guys to kind of figure out what's going on. And B, there's a really, really attractive option. I use that word intentionally, at AAA El Paso, if not two.
Two.
Nick Vincent, you know, is down there after he was used a bunch at the beginning of the season. And Kevin Quackenbush, of course, who developed into a really, really key cog for the Padres in the pen last year, is also at AAA El Paso. So if things don't necessarily go the way you'd like with, you know, a Sean Kelly or a whoever moving forward, and you hope that those guys figure it out, you know that you've sort of got that ace up your sleeve.
Right. Vincent, last night, two perfect innings with five strikeouts. Quackenbush got the save in an El Paso win at Tacoma.
That's a nice-sounding situation.
Right. So, I mean, they're pitching well at El Paso.
Yeah, no, that's encouraging.
So your bullpen right now, you got a seven-man bullpen, but right now your bullpen's like nine men deep.
Yes, it is. It's a pretty exciting thing. So, you know, they'll mix and match, I think, while they need to. But for the most part, you know, I feel okay about the situation, particularly if you can get your starter to go six or seven.
Right.
And that's what you'd like, ideally, right? That's what you want. You want Tyson Ross today pitching into the seventh inning. And if you've got that lead, then you can turn it over to Benoit and Kimbrel, and then you just kind of feel like
right. That,
I think.
And I think what he's going to do is, like, if they pitch 2 days back-to-back, is the third day if they're leading and they're in that situation, you may not see Benoit. You'll see Kimbrel for the third straight day, and then if they get to a fourth situation, you'll see somebody else in the eighth hole and Benoit in the closer spot.
There you go. All right, Bill's got it all figured out. You just saw some tweets fly through. Remember, you can send us your tweeters with the hashtag PadresSH. I got a question in the chat at padres.com/socialhour. It comes from PodsFan. So I don't know his name. Or her. It could be a her.
Right.
PodsFan. And here you go. We've seen this question a few times. It's a good question. We'll continue to answer it best we can, but we cannot provide you any sort of concrete answer. The question, when Josh Johnson comes back, does he automatically make the starting rotation? Maybe Preller will use someone like Ian Kennedy in a trade when Josh Johnson comes back. So here's what Buddy Black would say. If Buddy were sitting on the couch next to you and we said, hey, Buddy, what about Josh Johnson when he's healthy? Does he go right into the rotation? Buddy, I predict, would say,
if these things have a way of working out.
That's it.
Because you never know when somebody might get hurt. You don't know the situation. When Johnson comes back, he's going to have at least three rehab starts in the minor leagues. That's going to give you time. He might be rushed if somebody gets hurt. You don't know. But like Buddy likes to say, and we've seen it already. We saw it when Despaña went to the bullpen at the start of the year, and everybody there were a lot of people saying, well, he should be in the starting rotation. It should be Morrow. All of a sudden, you need Despaña because Ian Kennedy's hurt. These things have a way of working themselves out.
Absolutely. Kennedy, by the way, through another successful bullpen session yesterday at Wrigley, he's lined up for a rehab assignment Monday at extended spring training in Arizona.
You know, a lot of people immediately when they see surplus, they want to make trades. Generally, in the course of the season, you're going to need that surplus.
You're going to need those guys.
Right.
Well, I mean, we saw it after a couple of days.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty obvious.
Like I got a question yesterday on our chat that, hey, when Kennedy is back, does he go to the bullpen and Despaña stay?
No.
And no, Despaña will go back to the long man because he is better suited to do that. That was the role that when the season started that he was going to fill. Kennedy goes back into the rotation.
That is exactly right. So Ian Kennedy will make a rehab start Monday in Arizona, probably 70 to 90 pitches. Buddy Black said yesterday to extended spring training, and then you expect to see him back in the rotation, really, assuming that goes well physically, as soon as he's eligible?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he could, you know, there's a chance that he could make one rehab start at, say, El Paso or Lake Elsinore, just to make sure. But he also needs to get extended out, like Buddy was saying. His last start when he got hurt lasted only 27 pitches. Before that, he pitched the Mexico City game. Threw only a couple innings there. So he does need to get extended. He's going to pitch an extended spring training on Monday. I wouldn't be surprised if they did send him out for one rehab start before he came back up.
Makes a lot of sense.
I think a lot of it depends on what Despaña does in his next start.
That's fair, too. Because if you feel comfortable throwing him out there one more time, might as well.
Right.
Might as well.
And not rush anybody back.
Going back to the Josh Johnson thing, though, again, these things have a way of working themselves out. There's no reason to try and figure it out right now because if and when Josh Johnson is ready to return this rotation, and look, he's on track. I mean, he's on track. But if and when, then you kind of see where everybody else is at.
But let's be honest here. He's coming back from a major injury,
yes.
Tommy John surgery, the second one in his case. He's ahead of the rehab schedule right now. He's looked very sharp. But you don't know what's really going to happen when he gets on the mound, even in a rehab game. So he may need 3 or 4 rehab starts before you're really certain. We're still a month away.
At least.
Right.
At least. Got to have some patience there. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. The long-promised conversation about the ivy on the outfield walls at Wrigley Field and why Will Myers and Justin Upton were very, very intelligent in that situation yesterday.
Smartest play of the day.
There you go. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco's proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Do some ivy talk when we come back. Padres Social Hour. Presented by United Airlines, live from the AMR studio.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio at Petco Park. Game 2 of the series coming up about an hour and 10 minutes from now in Chicago. Padres and the Cubs, Tyson Ross out on the mound. How about this nugget about Tyson Ross? Today at the game, he's starting, of course, but he is also hosting a group of Special Olympians, high school-aged kids, from a charter school on the south side of Chicago. It's the first year that the school has a baseball team, and about 99% of the kids at the school qualify for free breakfast and lunch. Many have never been to Wrigley Field before. Tyson Ross hosting those Special Olympians from Chicago today.
You know, as special as that is, that doesn't surprise me about Tyson.
Not even a little.
Right. A lot of times you talk about these things and look at what player is doing. Tyson does so much of that stuff, it doesn't surprise me that he would do something.
It's special, too, because it's on the road. Like, he's doing that for kids in Chicago, not just for kids here in San Diego, so that he's having those kids and getting them to Wrigley Field for, I imagine, a lot of them the first times in their lives.
But
that's really, really nice.
The last 2 years at Tyson's been here, he in Washington went to Bethesda 1 year and then went to Walter Reed Hospital the other year. So
yeah,
Tyson's quiet, and he does a lot of things just because he does them. He doesn't need any notoriety about it. It's Tyson's a special person.
He's a great guy, man.
Right.
And that's really nice to hear. And look forward to hearing maybe a little bit more about that and at least hear how the kids' experience went. All right, now we've talked a lot about the ivy. Fryer Fever on Twitter, he wants to know if Jesse feels as strongly about the ivy as he does about Hall of Fame votes. So if you don't know, the Hall of Fame process drives me crazy. You writers, Bill, you've mucked the whole thing up.
We get it wrong.
Yeah, and it's a disaster. But no, I love the ivy at Wrigley.
Right.
I think it's a great little different thing about Wrigley Field. I also, though, feel very strongly that umpires and players should know rules, and the Padres players did yesterday. You heard Mark Grant say it. You heard Dick Enberg say it. Getting a ball stuck in the ivy at Wrigley is the same as if a ball gets stuck in, like, the padding of a wall
or
at any other ballpark.
Or if it bounces over the wall.
Or if it bounces in the wall. But what you do is nothing. You do exactly what these guys do, which is you hold your arms up in the air. If it gets stuck under a bench, you know, like at AT&T Park in San Francisco, the bullpens are down the lines, Wrigley too, obviously. When a ball gets lodged somewhere or underneath of something, you put your hands up and you don't try and get it.
Right.
If you try and get it, it's a live ball.
Right.
And then it's essentially
Dexter
a home
Fowler
run.
Can keep running, and that would have been an inside the ballpark home run.
Right. Now, they did exactly the right thing.
Right.
The umpires, for whatever reason,
didn't know the ground rules.
Or they didn't believe, trust themselves, or I don't know what. Right. It was driving me crazy because Dale Thayer's out on the mound, just standing there, and he's getting cold. And look, Justin Upton knows right away what to do. He puts his arms up in the air. And the umpires actually had to get on the headsets and go to New York for a rule check, which they're permitted to do. And again, I'd rather them check with New York than get it wrong.
Right.
But it was kind of like, since I was 8 years old, I've known that rule about Wrigley Field because it's so unique.
Right. And Upton knew it immediately. The second that ball bounced and stuck there, Upton threw his hands up to let everybody know, yeah, it's unplayable. Even though I can see it, I can't. And you don't know what's going to happen. If you go in there to get it, you could break one of those vines and it would fall down, and then you'd really be in trouble. If you go to get it, Fowler's got an inside the ballpark home run.
Without question. So the guys did the absolute right thing.
Right.
They were intelligent about it. They didn't get teased by the fact that you could see it. Because, of course, in the summertime, when that stuff is green and not brown and dead,
right.
You wouldn't even really be able to see the ball because the leaves would be everywhere. By the way, that when I was a little kid, I always thought it was poison ivy because I didn't know there was ivy that wasn't poison. So it always blew my mind that they
why
had
poison. Why would they be doing
right,
this?
Why would they have poison ivy on the
You're
walls?
Trying to kill the players.
That's it. So when I was a little kid, that was the thing that confused me until my dad explained it to me. But, yeah, I mean, just because you can see it, it doesn't matter. If it gets stuck in a pad in two walls, you can see it. Just don't touch it.
Right.
Because if you try and touch it, it's a live ball.
And I love the way
going.
The second that ball stuck, Upton's arms went in the air. He was immediate with his call.
He knew what he was doing.
He knew the ground rules perfectly.
Exactly. So tip of the cap to Justin Upton and Will Myers for doing the right thing there. And the umpires, again, they got it right. But I like Dexter Fowler asking for three bases.
Right.
As if there's such a thing as a ground rule triple. Nice effort. Nice effort. The fact that Dale Thayer had to stand around on the mound for 5 minutes while the umpires talked about it and then got on the headsets to New York, I thought was a really strange kind of situation. This was not a complicated deal. This is really, really straightforward for something like this. It's obviously a weird play because a ball gets stuck in some weeds, but, like, this is straightforward. It happens every year at Wrigley, and it was a quick rule check in New York, but
because the guy in New York's probably saying, "Hey, idiots!
Yeah,
it's a ground rule."
He's like, "Yeah, no, you're right. It's double,
right?
Just like it has been for 100 years there."
Because he was already on third.
Yeah, no. Again, doesn't matter. Not how it works.
It's a double. It's a ground rule double.
Anyway, speaking of umpires, Angel on Twitter says, "If the Cubs catcher would have stayed still on the Myers strike three that wasn't, the umpire could have made the strike three call. Do you put any blame on Wellington Castillo for kind of getting up and walking away on that 0-2 pitch to Will Myers?"
Yes. You frame it and you let the umpire see where the ball was. You don't catch it and take off.
All right. So you think that could have negatively impacted
Sam Holbrook?
I think
that split second could have negatively impacted. And on the flip side, Myers did a great job of selling it because he didn't go anywhere.
Right, he didn't start walking back towards the dugout.
He didn't look like it was a strike at all. He stood there like it was a ball.
Myers, to his credit, also, by the way, he keeps a complete straight face.
Absolutely.
After the call. You got to figure, your instinct is to sort of laugh or smile like, oh, I just got away with one. But he kept poker face the entire time.
And it's not like he, when the ball was caught and Wellington Castillo, Myers didn't make a reaction or anything. He just stood there like, well, that's a ball.
Yeah, good for him.
Right.
Good for him. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about today's starting lineup for the Padres. We've mentioned a couple of times, Yonder Alonso hitting second for the first time.
I like this top.
In this regular season.
We'll talk about that.
Okay, yes, we will. All right, we want you to join us here at Petco Park a week from tomorrow, Sunday, April 26th, as we honor the U.S. Marine Corps at Petco Park. It's U.S. Marine Corps Appreciation Day presented by USAA. With a valid ID, all active military get 50% off tickets for Sunday's game. Go to Padres.com/military. Padres.com/military. U.S. Marine Corps Appreciation Day next Sunday against the Dodgers here at Petco Park. Another reason to come out to Petco next weekend for that big series against L.A. Take a break. Come back. Starting lineup for today's game. Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio continues right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
We are back at the AMR studio at Petco Park. Jesse Agler, Bill Center, just about an hour away from first pitch at Wrigley. Another beautiful afternoon on the north side of Chicago as Tyson Ross faces off against Kyle Hendricks. As for the rest of the Padre lineup, let's discuss. Starting lineup for the Padres presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Myers, Alonzo, Kemp, Upton, Middlebrooks, Jerko, Amarista, Nieves, and Tyson Ross. Well, Nieves gets his second start of the season. The first one was rather exciting. That's one notable thing. I think the other main notable thing, as we said, Yonder hitting second for the first time in the regular season. We saw it a bunch in spring training, and now we see it for realsies.
Both Myers and Alonzo have made 10 starts this season. Between them, they've reached base 35 times. Three and a half times a game on base between your top two guys is a pretty good percentage. Sets it up nicely for Kemp and Upton.
And remember, Will Myers swinging at the first pitch this year, 5 for 10.
Right.
5 for 10 when he puts that one in play,
I guess.
Know,
the other thing is that Nieves now is catching Tyson Ross for the second time.
Yes. And that leads us to a question here. Let's pop a couple Twitters up.
I'm sorry about that.
No, you have nothing to apologize for. MLB Rabbit, which is an interesting name on Twitter, says, does Tyson prefer Nieves or just a day off for Dino, Derek Norris?
Well, I think it's two things. One, it's a day off for Norris, and he is in a little bit of a slump. He's 2 for his last 16, which, by the way, also shows you how unimportant those stats are right at the start of the season. Because if he were 2 for 16 in those first four games, you'd be saying, "Oh, what's wrong with Derek Norris?"
Right
now, he's got some numbers. It doesn't look as bad, but also, a lot of times in your backup catcher, you like partnering him with one pitcher. So this might make sense that we see a lot of Nieves catching Tyson Ross.
It's also that, you know, you don't want it to just be a Sunday thing, right? You know,
right,
I mean, you want to move it around a little bit. And with the 3-day games in Chicago, it gives you an opportunity to do some things.
Norris will catch Ross, but sometimes your backup catcher, if he can pair with one pitcher so that pitcher knows, hey, I'm working with this guy quite a bit, it works out better.
Okay. There you go. I'm going to put you on the Cholula hot seat now, Bill. Are you ready for that?
Okay.
All right. Bill is on the Cholula hot seat. It has been activated. And the question
comes. It is
comes,
warming up here.
The question comes from the live chat from Dennis in the Yucca Valley up there in the high desert. And he goes, why do you think a team like the Giants can play so bad? I know you love the Giants, Bill. They are 3-9. Out of the gate. They are 3-9. What are you seeing from the defending World Series champions?
Well, first of all, I would like to say I hate to see this happen. And if you believe that, I got some property up in the high desert I want to sell you. The other thing is it's early. I mean, yes, they're going terrible right now, but teams have good streaks and bad streaks. And let's wait 100 games and see where people are, and then we can start figuring out what's good and what's bad.
How many teams do you think have started 3-9 or worse and made the postseason?
Wow.
You had to guess.
If I had to guess?
Since 1900.
Oh, since 1900?
Just going all the way back, basically, to the modern era of baseball. How many times do you think a team has gone 3-9 or worse to start and made the postseason?
I'd say once every 3 or 4 years, so I'd say 30.
It has happened 6 times.
6 times?
6 times.
Is that right?
How about that for
that
your San Francisco
wrong.
Giants?
I am absolutely wrong. They're dead.
The 1908 Tigers?
They're dead.
The 1914 Braves? The 1951 Giants? The Bobby Thompson home run, the shot heard around the world? The Pirates in 74? The Royals in 81? And the A's in 01, 2001? It has not happened since 2001.
Adios, Giants.
All right,
see
so
you
you're
next
saying
year.
Goodbye to the San Francisco Giants.
Write this year off.
That's pretty crazy. Only 6 teams have started 3-9 or worse and made the postseason.
Wow, I would have thought it was
much more than that. Yeah, no, me too. Dwayne McDonald, who's the producer for the Dodgers radio, great guy. He just tweeted that a few minutes ago as that question came in.
Wow.
That is absolutely wild.
Right.
Because we always talk about, hey, you're gonna lose, you know, 9 out of 12 at some point in the season, and even the team that wins the World Series probably will at some point. Not at the beginning. Not at the beginning. 6 teams.
I hate to see that happen.
No, I know. You're devastated. All right, Bill, nice job on the Cholula hot seat. Cholula is the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap for a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano. Check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. How's about that? That makes you happy, doesn't it?
It does.
You've got a glow now.
Right.
You're all smiles. And
I not only want them out of the playoffs, I mean, out of the division race, I want them out of the playoffs.
You want them done.
Right.
All right. No, I understand that. That's your thing. You're not a big Giant supporter.
No.
You're quite the opposite, in fact. All right.
Let's see where that bandwagon rolls if they have a 70 or 90 loss season.
Right. And then you know, even odd years. Right. They've got that thing going for them, I guess. They've won three out of the last
five. We'll see them next year.
All right, fine. Looking for paradise? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park, one at the Park at the Park, the other on the Mercado behind home plate, also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. We'll take a break. Wrap up Padres Social Hour presented by United right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Wrapping up this Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines, less than an hour away from first pitch at Wrigley Field. A beautiful Saturday morning here in San Diego. Thanks for spending some of your time with us. Tyson Ross out on the mound against Kyle Hendricks today. Yonder Alonso hitting second. Will Nieves back in the starting lineup. Hey, good show. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Nice job, Bill Center.
Thanks, Jesse. Always a pleasure being here.
The pleasure is all mine. Have a great time today with the game, and we'll be back tomorrow at 9:30 for more Padres Social Hour.